Hello, Larry.
Hello, Double Dutch.
And hello, Village Country Club.
Yeah, yeah.
And hello to you, and hello to me. It's roundtable time here out at Deep Eddy Summer Bash. Up first in the roundtable wheel of death, we have me. We also have George.
Yeah.
Heard on that last segment discussing the classic movie Jaws.
Mm-hmm. Love Jaws.
His five-year-old has never forgiven him, or then five-year-old.
He's 23 now.
Yeah, and he hates you. And it's because of that.
I think he loves me, but he doesn't like that part. Doesn't like that night.
Here is the three comic guy, Bob.
Hello.
Obviously.
How's it going?
I would be happy with two commas if there's any way I could ever swing that.
Tres comas.
But three?
It's my new tequila line.
Man, the great Russ Hanneman. Will we ever see anybody like him?
Man, I just want a laid-back episode where everything goes right for the gang. They just can't get a break, Mike.
They don't have somebody, you know, throwing cars at open like this up in their face.
Just one problem after another for those poor guys.
There's also Norm with us, the great Norm Hitzkus, the sports talk legend, the old school true pioneer of the craft.
Well, you're getting old school yourself, pal.
We all try to emulate. No, I'm a mere piker compared to you. Well, I can only hope to be like you.
You don't consider yourself old school?
Me? Yeah, but yeah. I mean, not like Norm.
But you're not a pioneer.
No, I'm not a pioneer. Like,
do you realize how unusual our station is?
Yes, I do.
From the length of being working in some place. Bob, what is it, 16 years now?
Yeah,
celebrating your show.
17.
Hey, today's
okay,
our
you're working on 17.
Year 17
year, but you're...
Hold on, Norm, you're talking over George trying to make fun of us. Go ahead, George.
I said they tell you every day.
Donovan.
This is episode 1146. It's our 15-year, one-month anniversary. Let's play some old tape, Dan.
Yeah, and then they killed 3 hours playing old tape.
Come on, we're just having fun at summer bash.
No.
Come on.
Please do more.
Well, but in our craft,
made Bob mad.
Consider this, in our craft, Bob is the kid in this room.
Going to ruin the night for everybody.
well, this room right here, yeah.
Yeah. In this group, Bob's the kid.
I guess so. What do you think about that, Bob?
You know, we were talking about Vin Scully yesterday.
Oh.
And just how that relates.
How could he possibly do that many baseball games?
From the idea that he took his job that he's currently at and performing at what I consider to be a very high level 66 years later.
It's ridiculous.
And I think there's a couple fun facts that came from yesterday's segment. One was that Steve Busby, who appears really old when he broadcasts. I don't know what you think of that, but he appears from a slightly different time. He was born the year Vin Scully took his job.
Is Buzz 66?
I believe so.
Wow. Man.
And the other good one was he confused Cecil and Prince Fielder on Wednesday night, which I don't care. I know he knows the difference. In fact, he fixed it. But the fact is that when Cecil was a rookie breaking in, Vin Scully was 58 years old. And calling Dodger games, no doubt at the time, which was 1985, nearing retirement.
I just can't imagine doing that many games. I mean, from a much smaller scale, doing North Texas for 25 years, I felt like I did a million games. But I didn't do baseball. 162 games a year plus playoffs.
Yeah.
For that long.
Does he do preseason too? Spring training?
I bet he used to. I bet he doesn't anymore.
He is on a modified West of the Rockies schedule these days.
Yeah, he is.
But
him and Art Bell.
The fact that that guy anchors both the radio and the television broadcast, it's not a simulcast, but I think both broadcasts kind of portray their main guy as Vin Scully, and he does it with no assistance, and he talks nonstop, and it's really good every time he's on.
I was tuned in to Dodger Radio a couple nights ago, and they had somebody else on there.
Well, he does Dodger Radio innings 1 through 3. And then he goes to TV, I think, 4 through 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I like it. I wish more people would do that. That would be great.
And I'm telling you, and this is with all due respect to the Ranger broadcasters, and it also allows for the possibility that I miss some innings along the way. But those three innings I heard Wednesday night, I learned at least half a dozen things about Ranger players that I thought I had never heard before. Like he, I expect guys late in their career to not ball as hard as they once did. Like, I think that's what makes Norm really remarkable, is it appears Norm works just as, just as hard as he always did, and that's really cool. I think Vin Scully does as well at the age of 87, almost 88. Like the information he has on every player in baseball is mind-boggling to me.
And imagine the bridge he's made from when he started and what the circumstances were and what the information gathering process was.
Yes.
And where you stored the information.
Right.
You stored it here or on pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And now he's in a computer age. Unbelievable.
And what is that, year three of Jackie Robinson's career when he took his job?
What year did he do it at?
1950.
50. Golly.
God.
Is that insane?
You know,
that is insane. I mean, it's insane enough to me. When I think of Vin Scully, the does not compute point for me is that he did games at Ebbets Field.
Yes.
Yes.
For years.
Yes. I'm really obsessed. One of the baseball things I'm really obsessed with was the New York scene of the 40s and 50s when they had three teams there.
Yeah.
And they were all good, and all three of them mattered in New York.
Right.
And I it's just mind-boggling for me to think about what the day-to-day life as a fan must have been. And then you got Vin Scully, who was there for that whole time and can tell you all about it.
Yeah.
And it's still working today.
A couple weeks ago, he did a minute or so on D-Day, and it was magical. I don't know if you heard it. But it was really cool. In fact, I wish I had my laptop with me. I'd play it for you. But he was talking about D-Day, and then you sat there for a second, and you're like, wait a minute. He only missed being, like, the age he took the Dodgers job, I think he was, well, it was 21. So in 1950, he was 21. He was, what, 14 for D-Day? 14 or 15 years old?
Like that.
So he just missed D-Day. That's how long ago Vin Scully started. And I don't know. I just think he's phenomenal. So much so that I really wish MLB would do something highly impractical, which is lift blackout rules so that when your team plays the Dodgers, you get to hear him without any sort of hoops you have to jump through.
You know, there are so many ways to try to put him in perspective, the ridiculous, wonderful career he's had. Eric Nadell, we have now gotten used to as in his 34th year, am I correct?
Seventh.
30, what?
Seventh.
37th year?
I think so.
Yeah, well, because he was...
realize that if Eric Nadell stays on the job three more decades, he'll arrive at Vin Scully level. That's just...
It's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling.
It really is, and we're not going to see the likes of that again.
No, and... I don't know that it's one of those things that a consultant would ever greenlight, is just somebody talking to themselves, telling stories through a baseball game like he does.
No, they wouldn't.
Like he told the story about Wandy Rodriguez at the Dominican Baseball Academy and how they tried to send him home and how he had to fake his age and his identity and just all these things as the game's going on. And it was seamless, and it was really, really interesting.
And you didn't miss anything going on
Not
in the game?
Not a thing.
Amazing.
So
just amazing.
Just amazing.
Props to him.
George.
I love him. Told the story of Rugnigador Dor and the fact that his brother has the same name.
Yes.
And he has a little brother who goes by the same name. A pitch inside for a ball, 1-0.
Well, not exactly. The middle name, actually, is different. So think about that, Mom.
Still pretty remarkable down there in the Dominican Republic.
You would name your son the same name.
Yeah, that D-Day thing is amazing, the J.D. Salinger story, right? That he had notes for catcher in the rye stuffed into his uniform.
Oh, I guess, no. The one I heard, he was just describing the siege of Omaha Beach and so forth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the one I heard was, and there was a young private that day named J.D. Salinger, who had the notes for a novel that would become known as Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, okay. Well, his...
And this catcher misses the low ball in the dirt.
His finishing move on this one is all of that made today possible so you and I could be at a baseball game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, come on.
It's genius.
We'd still be at a baseball game just speaking German.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, under a different leader.
We just a note
we'd be
here.
Paying homage to the Fuhrer.
Hitler would have ended baseball. When we were doing baseball at HSC, one of the things we arranged was to talk to several other teams and see if one of their broadcasters could come over and do one inning. And we got Ernie Harwell to come over and do an inning on our air, and Phil Rizzuto to come over and do an inning on our air. And it was just wonderful because often we would swap Merle, who is giant in the business, Merle
yeah.
Harmon. But that's an incredible fraternity. And to be in the fraternity 66 years.
It's pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
You know, that idea wouldn't work today, though, because they're all just so generic. They're just so much like each other.
What does it take? Most of them until their 40th birthday to get to the big leagues, probably, right? 30? 35?
Yeah. People aren't breaking it at 21.
You're not taking the Dodgers job at 21.
No.
Would it be cool if you could?
Would it?
I don't know. You know, Merle Harmon opened a fanfare in Little Madison when I was a kid. And so we had
several of those places here, too.
Well, I would imagine it would make sense here.
Yeah. Merle had
The fact that I knew who Merle Harmon was, at least from the fact that he had NFL gear in my mall. I learned that name, and I had no idea he was a Ranger broadcaster.
I guess it was a rival of Brad Sham's Big League Threads. Well, remember that?
Yes.
You know, I will say this, doing the games with Merle, he may have had more friends in the business than anybody I've ever met. A game, three people would come by, six people would come by, eight people would come by. The next night, another bunch, and they'd walk in, Jim, it's great to see you again. He had made so many friends traveling around baseball and traveling. Because remember, he was a huge voice in the NFL for years also.
Yeah.
As was Vin.
Well, he was seriously the nicest guy. You knew him a lot better than we did. Access to him. He was just tremendous. What a great dude.
I think Vin did
Merle Harmon.
Didn't he do the catch?
Yes, he did.
I think Vin Scully did.
Yes.
Cowboys.
Yes.
Ooh, I found a Cowboy game you might not have.
What's that?
The 73 championship game when the Vikings won at Texas Stadium. You ever seen that one?
Yeah. No, I'd love to have that.
I don't want to see that.
I think it's like 27-10 or something.
Yes, that was very one-sided. The Cowboys got their asses kicked that day.
I just found it.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Your greatness.
And the quality is
quite high. I'll have my hard drive immediately.
That's too sad.
What time is it?
You got to face the pain because that loss puts you in a position to win 12, probably.
That's right.
The next year they missed the playoffs.
Well, I know, but it's
74.
It's a process. You don't want to change anything.
That's right, Bob. That's right.
You don't want to change.
You got them back on track. They'd already won one and got them back on track.
And then the next year from that was the catch. It's the 40th anniversary of the Hail Mary catch, Roger DeDru.
The 75.
Yeah, 75. Yeah, the Hail Mary, yeah.
Yeah, Hail Mary.
Now you know who's on the call in that game, don't you? Who's
the great
doing color?
Labor? Oh, who?
Johnny Unitas.
Really?
No. Yes.
Really?
On TV?
Yeah, Gary. Gary. Somebody did play by play, and Johnny Unitas is doing color, and it was not his bag.
Pretty
to
bad,
to say the least.
Was Lindsey?
Yeah, you got that game.
Yeah, I do. Was Lindsey Nelson in that
Nelson
mix?
No, the 35-yard line?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I don't think so.
Football's great.
I like football.
Just show more football.
Football!
All right, then.
Are we done here?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay, all right.
What else you guys want to talk about?
I could rip on this stuff all night long, but we got to get
looks
others
like the crowd's
here.
Loving it.
Yeah, boy, it does. They're very enthralled and excited with this. All right, who's next, George?
We got Junior, Dan, Gordo, and Corby.
Whoa, they're what a foursome.
They're going to do this Summer exact
Bash.
Segment.
Got a song. Yeah, we got a great awesome. Crowd here. Deep Eddie Vodka Summer Bash at the Village Country Club.
Look at all that skin.
Just off Carruth Haven and 75, you know where the Village Country Club is. You can park at Kohl's, and there's a shuttle. That's at Skillman and Northwest Highway. Thanks to our other sponsors, Macho Self Storage, PM Stanley Motor Cars, Corona, and, of course, the Village. And on this roundtable, me, Junior, I'm the captain, along with Dan, Gordo, and Corby. And we have so much still to come here at Summer Bash because we've got many more roundtables, and then the Time Wasters will take the stage around 7:15. We have a bikini contest hosted by Corby and Donovan at 8:30.
Why are you laughing at me?
It just tends to get out of control with the two of you hosting.
Hey, you know what? You used to host.
I did.
What happened?
Well, you know what?
You got kicked off.
I hosted for a couple of years, and then I think I got kicked off, or I got relegated relegated to squirt gun duty. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. You were the best.
Yeah. I had the
that was
squirt
like your calling.
Gun rifle, and it was my job to get their T-shirts wet or their bikinis wet.
Right.
And then I was demoted from that to the minor leagues, and I never made my way back up.
That whole scene seems really dehumanizing to me.
It is.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I mean, there's really no two ways
it's
about it.
It's just something against God.
But I love it.
And we are paying the winner $200.
Yeah, they get money, Gordon. Doesn't that make it more legit?
Yeah, anytime there's money involved, you can't possibly be dehumanizing somebody.
right. Taking don't you advantage think that, of those poor single mothers.
Well, don't you think that their moms would be very, or dads would be very happy about what they were earning money for?
No.
For how long? How long did they work? Half hour?
If that.
For $200?
Yeah.
That's a great fee.
I agree.
There's some money that's
figure
not
that
worth
out
it.
Across like a whole year, and you can convince your parents this is a great thing.
Man,
you
you're
could just
lame.
Win a new contest every
when
half hour.
When did you
hour.
Get so lame?
Ooh.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a bikini contest somewhere in driving distance Thursday, Friday, Saturday night through spring and summer and fall.
Oh, worldwide, I think the stat is that a bikini contest happens, I think, every 12 seconds or something, they say.
Shut up.
I swear.
All right, so if you could win it, you had a great body and you could win it, $200 a night, let's say that's $600 a week,
if you
that's $2,400 a month.
Well, no, back up. Why don't you enter all of them every 19 seconds?
And this has to be one of the lower dollar ones, though.
Ours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, it's got to be the lowest on any scale.
Right. No, this is huge. This is big money.
The $200 prize is the biggest you can make?
I think $200 is probably about right for those
is that,
contests.
I guess I have no idea.
Could you make a
Craig
living?
Would know.
Could you make a living?
I could. You
support,
guys couldn't.
And support your children just off bikini contests?
Yeah, absolutely.
Four kids.
Let's say
let's
three.
Say on average,
well,
if we're on the
five,
low end.
One of them I don't acknowledge.
If we're on the low end at $200, let's say on average that it's a $400 booty each time that you win. And you do four a week, and you're the winner every time.
I don't know that you could find four a week.
That's a lot of pressure to stay. Can you win every one of them?
Yeah, if you work out enough. You're not lazy.
I don't know.
Hit
let's
the
say,
gym.
You know, if you were super hot, like, say, a Meryl Streep.
Right.
Or a Helen Mirren.
Yeah, you'd
you
win
know what?
All. Oh, that's his girl. Or
Helen
girl,
Mirren
or
would
her.
Win it.
If that, Helen Mirren.
That's his geriatric.
If I could make a run at her right now, I would feel that my world would be complete.
A run at her?
No.
You mean date her romantically?
No. Make a run. You think she's into dating?
4.0.
Like 72.
Think she doesn't have time to date?
No.
Corby will send you bikini photos of Helen Mirren. He's done that to me.
Yeah.
She's been hot her whole life.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And did you guys hear, you probably didn't hear this, I was talking about my love of the Silver Fox.
Yeah.
I love, and you know, this is like a bit of current trend over the past couple of years, even young women getting gray hair.
Right.
And I think it's a great look. These
but they're
women
mortified.
Getting, who?
Women in general.
No, I think that it's turned around and they're embracing the gray hair.
Boy,
I mean,
what
it'll
age,
fall
though?
Out of fashion at some point.
What age are you saying?
Oh, there's like Rihanna's done it. Lady Gaga's done it. I mean, these young women who do the gray hair thing. But Junior had some further point, didn't you? That I interrupted by jumping in there?
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay. But do you guys like the older woman, and I'm talking 60 plus,
yeah,
that has the really pretty, like almost white, but it's got some length to it. She doesn't do you know, I don't know, haircut like pink.
She fat?
No. An attractive older woman. Or is age such a turnoff?
No, I'm in.
It's all good. Too.
It's all good. I feel I'm at the perfect age. If I was, by the grace of God, single.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel that I would go in every direction.
Men.
Yeah, so, like, you're in the middle. You're in your 40s, so you could get the 70-year-old.
Absolutely. They would be wildly turned on by my youth.
How old's Helen Mirren?
72.
Is she single?
I would move to London. Yeah, she is.
No, she's about to turn 70.
Okay.
I never thought that I'd see the day when my cutoff age got to be 75. But I think that's what it is now.
I remember reading something about Frank Sinatra, and this was when he was in his mid-70s, and he said, there's something about elderly women that I really, really love.
Mark.
And I read that when I was 20,
uh-huh.
And it was like, what? What?
Just doesn't compute.
What are you gay?
Well,
that was
I'm
gay to me.
I was confused by that.
So if you're a 70-year-old guy, a 70-year-old guy,
oh, yeah.
And a 40-year-old woman, average to better than average attractiveness, offered herself up to you, you'd
if
be on
70,
it right away.
I yes. wonder, that's a good question.
And then if the other way around, though.
Because now, like, what has more appeal to you? The 40-year-old, dating a 40-year-old hot woman, or dating a 22-year-old hot woman? Which would you be more interested in?
If I was single and I had my options, I think...
And I'm talking about dating, not just, you know...
Yeah, I think 30.
Well, he didn't give you that as an option.
I don't remember saying that.
He gave you one or the other.
22 or 40?
Yeah.
40.
Yeah, I'm with you.
22 would make no sense.
For me, it depends on the personality.
Shut up.
I don't really think about AIDS. No, I'm serious.
You don't think about AIDS?
I don't think about that. It's more personality.
He's accepted that.
He's got AIDS.
It's a part of me.
Which one is a binge eater?
What do you mean? The AIDS patient or the non?
I'll take the
binge
eater.
I would say the non.
The binge eater?
The 40 or the 22?
Yeah. Are you into BBW?
No. Skinny girls just eating a lot and then purging.
Okay, on that note, I've been told by Kat that
he's
we have to
He's the weirdest
end.
Guy in the world.
We have to leave now?
Yeah, because the last guys ran until 6:04.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my.
So we're supposed to try
We had some binge eaters hanging on the line.
We're sorry.
All right, we'll get to you next.
We're trying to get this back on time.
Some skinny binge
eaters. We're even late now, but we've got
Are they 22 or 40?
22.
Okay.
Donovan, Norm, Ryan, and Corby.
It'd be disgusting if they were 40.
On the next roundtable, next on the ticket.
Craig was saying something.
It is 620 Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, the ticket. We are live at Summer Bash.
Yeah.
At the Village Country Country Club. We're right by the pool. This is fantastic. Deep Eddy Vodka Summer Bass brought to you by Macho Self Storage, PM Stanley Motor Cars, Corona,
Hunter.
And The Village. I'm here. This is Donnie Dew. I'm here with my man Corby to my right, Mike Reiner to my right, and Norm Hitzkus to my right. What's up, fellas?
What's up with you?
You tell us. I'm good, man.
How many
You're the
people?
One doing the talking here. This Summer Bash, let me tell you something.
Summer Bash is freaking awesome.
It really is.
How many people have a part or all of their body in the pool here right now?
I know. It is. Man, look
a
at
lot.
The tattoos on that old bra.
And you know what?
Where? Right there.
Again.
Oh, I didn't see it.
No offense to any other place that we've had this, Norman, but I believe the fact that this pool is right in front of us and it is ginormous and that you can it's 4 feet all the way around, so Groobs feels comfortable in there.
Yep.
You can just stand in there and hang out. You don't ever get hot or anything.
I've got an idea.
What?
We should combine this event and fight night.
Fighting in a pool?
They fight in a pool.
I already said that, but I want to put a floating rink up there.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That is genius.
Well, a floating ring.
Now, Norm, when you get in the pool, do you leave your shirt on or do you take it off?
I take it off.
Good man. I know a couple of guys that will leave the shirt on because I guess they don't think their body is very desirable. And you know what? Who gives a F about that?
Yeah.
Who cares? Get in the pool and enjoy yourself. I will always take my shirt off. I don't care what I look like.
No.
I might take my bottoms off, too, just for the hell of it.
No, why not? Who cares?
I look like a submarine if I'm floating on my back.
Oh, there's a very underreported
story.
You
have to be very near the surface, though.
We're not saying all that, Norm. I'm just saying I'll look like a submarine. There are some very
What does that mean exactly?
You know what that means,
Mike. I don't either.
Yes, you do. Being from Oak Cliff, being from the hood, you know exactly what that means.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
Yes, you do.
He didn't go to school.
Now, these are very interesting females out here. I do rank Summer Bash as the one that has the most ladies.
That's the most ass-rific.
The most desirable ladies in the house.
Well, as it should
and
be.
This is no different.
You know what?
Look at her right there in the pink top right there. Good grief.
I know.
I would do something to you, lady. You, yes. Don't look around. You. You might not remember it, but I'll do it.
Right.
And madam,
it'd be a Cosby episode.
Oh, no. I would not Cosby you.
And madam, you do realize, don't you, that it is Juneteenth.
It is.
You owe it to him, madam.
Let my people go, lady.
Do you realize that it took 2 years for this man right here to realize that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed?
2.5 years.
Oh, 2.5.
So you have some time to make up. Yes, you do.
You know the work that he was forced to do in those 2.5 years?
That's how long it took for it to make it to 3,500 maple.
The immense.
As we're ordering Donovan around, Donovan, where's my lunch?
I'm like, okay.
By the way, who told him it had been signed?
Like
you
wanted to keep it a secret?
Yeah, who ruined it?
That's not right, man. This is Juneteenth. You shouldn't talk to me like that. Hey, what are you doing back there?
Hey, let me ask you this about Juneteenth.
Okay.
When you were growing up, how old were you when you first remember hearing about it? Or do you always remember knowing about it?
Always. This
really?
Is my grandfather's favorite holiday. We would go out of town to Mahaya. That's where he was from, to Comanche Crossing, Comanche Peak, and go down there. They had a big Juneteenth celebration every year.
And everybody got the day off, didn't they?
Hey, you remember around 80 when those kids drowned at Comanche Peak in Mahaya?
Yeah.
I was there. I was at that Juneteenth celebration down there. We went every single year. I had an aunt that lived down there. We'd stay with her, and we'd have a fantastic time. Every Juneteenth, Mike.
He said he had an aunt.
Hey, where were you? Okay, on the Juneteenth thing, Mike, were you in your 40s before you realized it was a thing?
No, I think I was in my 30s. When did it happen?
When did Juneteenth?
Yeah.
What year?
Two years after
the Emancipation Proclamation was
I was in my 30s.
No, but I mean, like, yeah. I was telling Donovan.
I was 37.
I was telling Donovan, I don't remember hearing about it as a white man until I was in my 30s.
So did your nanny tell you about it? She's running your bathwater bathing you? Let me tell you a story, Corby.
Yeah, she told him that tomorrow she's not going to be here because it's Juneteenth.
And then your driver told you the same thing.
You want to hear a horrible story about the woman that used to
quickly
clean our house?
Yes.
Her name was Cora Lee. And Cora Lee lived in Fort Worth, and she would come over once every 2 weeks, and she would clean a couple of the houses in the neighborhood. She was really sweet. She would take care of me and my sister. My mom had to go shopping or whatever. And so Cora Lee was a large woman, though. Very large. Like three bills and about 5'3".
Okay.
Well, Cora Lee.
God almighty, man. I didn't have no Cora Lee in my world.
Cora Lee.
Out there on the mean streets of Oak Cliff.
I was in the middle of July, and it was time for Cora Lee to leave.
Nobody did. Nobody had a Cora Lee back then.
And Cora Lee opened up her car with the car windows were up, and the seats were plastic, as they all were back then.
Yeah.
And it was, the sun had been beaten down. It was probably the summer of 1980. And, you know, we had 55 million days in a row of 100-degree weather. She sat down in her car, and she had, like, those shorts on, those 70 shorts.
Yes.
That kind of rode up when she sat down.
And did she make the noise?
All we heard from the house was, help! Screaming.
She got stuck.
She was stuck in her car and got, like, second-degree burns up and down her legs.
Plastic, man. Plastic and big black heat.
We had to fire her.
She couldn't perform anymore. Wow. Okay, I don't need to hear anymore. It's 6:26 from Summer Bash, live at the Village. Coming up next, we have George, Bob, poor Cora Lee, Junior, and Dan. That's next on The Ticket.
All right, then. It is 6:32 on The Ticket. Deep Eddy Vodka Summer Bash well underway. Got started around noon. Man, look at this crowd. We got a huge crowd here. At the Village Country Club, it's brought to you by Macho Self-Storage, PM Stanley Motor Cars, Corona, and, of course, the Village.
We've had a kickball tournament. We have had balloon toss. We've had inflatable twister. We've had a putting contest.
Chips.
Did you guys enter any of those competitions?
Yeah.
I believe I was in the putting contest, but I don't know how it turned out. They didn't try to find me for my trophy, so I think.
Where was it?
The putting green.
Oh, okay.
Over there.
Over by where we have fight night?
Way to call his bluff.
Let me ask you guys a question.
By the way, this is a round table with Bob Sturm, Dan McDowell.
Hello.
Craig Miller, and me, George Dunham.
This is like our mix from early 2000.
Hi, everybody.
Before Norm took over.
Okay, so what were we going to say, Bob?
Are we...
we mix with them, 10 to noon?
And this is no way reflects on our sample right here. This is just think generally about the planet as it currently stands in America. Are we worried about the overbearding of America?
No, I'm not worried about it.
You mean the gay guy having a girlfriend so people won't think he's gay?
I'm impressed by the beard.
No, I'm just interested in overall facial hair trends because I want to say if we would have gone to a place just like this at, say, Summer Bash 2002...
Then maybe three beards.
There would have been goatees everywhere and much fewer beards. And now I feel the beard-to-goatee ratio has flipped completely. And the out-of-control untended beard is... so much more prolific than it's been at any point since the 70s. And I'm just curious if you guys are tracking these trends as well.
Yeah, you know, we did a segment on that one day, and I didn't notice the beard craze until we were deep into it. It just happened, and I wasn't aware of it. And then when I started looking around and noticed that it seemed like 8 out of every 10 guys had a beard, it disturbed me a little bit. But maybe that's the natural way it should be, right? We're not supposed to shave, we naturally grow facial hair
right.
to keep us warm in the months like this.
I want to say the full untended beard per like 1,000 adult male ratio 10 years ago, it was nothing.
No, nobody
it,
had
nobody would do that.
Maybe.
In fact, if you did it, you were the guy with the beard. You're like, well, yeah. This guy's crazy. He grows a beard when no one's doing it.
So when
and now the Travis Frederick beard is, like, everywhere.
When did human men start shaving their faces?
Who? Victorian era? I don't know.
I was wondering about that as well, because there's no argument for shaving.
It's horrible. I shave, like twice a week.
Like, the first maybe. Time they made, like, some technological advance where they said, wow, now we can shave. Like, who got excited about that?
Yeah.
That was a horrible idea.
I hate it.
Back then, they just had those big old straight razors that couldn't have been too much fun. All right, if you have a beard, like, yell. If you don't have a beard, yell.
What about if you have
about even.
Any kind of facial hair, yell.
See, do the ladies hate the beard?
That's the majority.
All right, do ladies like the beard?
Ooh, a lot of nose.
I think they seem to go along with whatever. Now, I don't know what you call, like, my game, which is I haven't shaved cleanly in 5 years. I've always had something, but I do like the biweekly mow.
How do you do that?
You take off the shears down to, like, a one guard and just kind of mow it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because then you don't ever look homeless. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, homeless is great.
But,
I kind of do that. I just shave like once or twice a week.
All the way down?
All the way
with
down.
With the razor?
And then I grow it out like this, and then I don't shave. Like, Junior shaves almost every day.
No, I can't do that. It's too hard on my skin. I was in an every other day pattern for my whole life, and then recently I'm doing what you're doing, maybe twice a week.
Yeah, I think that's the best
I
way
I can't
to do
it every day. It tears up my skin.
Yeah.
I don't want a clean-shaven snorge.
You don't?
No. I like you.
I want to keep you happy, Bob.
I like you going with whatever.
I want to keep you happy.
But, oddly, I do maintain razors and the quattro because the head needs to be clean shaven twice a week.
That's what you use, the quattro?
But the face, no way. Don't like it.
That's the one thing I don't get.
In fact, now, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm just going to say, now you can do television. Like if I do an FC Dallas game or something like that, you used to feel like I need to shave 1 hour beforehand.
Yeah.
Now, somehow, we've opened the floodgates, and you don't have to shave to be on TV anymore.
Do you
it's
think
awesome?
What is it, $50 if he mentions FC? Like, what do they get billed?
I don't know.
On air,
you mention. Know more about that. You see him fill out his live sheet every
way
week.
More than that. Way more than that.
Okay, here's the one thing I don't get. Like, the guy there has got a great beard. I wish I could grow a beard like that. But in June and July, that's in August, that's got to be a beating. He says no. Gordo always tells us no.
Yeah.
But that's, man, when it's 102.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's always a beating.
Even what? In the winter.
If you had a beard like that. One of the neck beards or whatever.
Yeah, it seems like you would get a lot of food and debris and roadkill trapped in the beard.
What about
all the time?
The renegade non-cooperating hair color beard? Like, don't you get a couple gray stragglers in there? Or no, that doesn't happen.
That you're, guy's too
you're
young.
You're still young?
A lot of people dye their beard.
Yeah, do we know? Yeah.
Have you considered that? Aubrey used to do that.
Nah.
He would dye his beard and dye his mustache.
We know somebody like that.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, we do.
Just for men?
And, you know, if I did grow one, I think I would dye it, too, because I am I'm all gray, and my youngest calls me Papa Smurf if I ever grow it out more than, like, 6 or 7 days.
Because it's lighter than your hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all gray.
That's awesome.
You know, that's the other thing. I just can't grow a good beard. I mean, I can't, like that dude, I can't grow, it's real scraggly, and it's just not, it's
seems
not
like
good.
Big Mac's gone in the other direction. I feel like 15 years ago, you weren't clean-shaven all the time, and now you require it.
I used to shave all the I would never shave. I would do it what you did.
Yeah.
And I think kids have softened me up.
Like, they like want it. You to shave?
They prefer it if I shave.
Man, Justin's never seen me without this.
How are we doing on the hair, by the way?
Doesn't it look good?
It does look good.
It's not growing as fast as I thought it would.
No, you have slow-growing hair.
I need the tuft to grow a little more.
Dan lost a deal at the Ticket Compound, and he was supposed to grow out his hair for a year.
That was only a few weeks ago, though. You guys are acting like that was a year ago.
Early May.
How many weeks?
Almost
6 weeks,
months.
7 weeks.
Two months, really?
Yeah, it was late
okay.
April,
I feel like it's been
May.
Getting scraggly over the ear, and I'm tucking it behind the ear. And
no, it looks good.
When I wear a hat to softball games, it's kind of flies out and it looks bad. You know, it's like
when you take an extra base.
When I'm flashing the sign.
By the way,
third.
I met somebody where I talked to a friend of mine the other day whose daughter plays for you or played for you.
Oh, really?
And then I think you traded her or something.
You guys would not believe.
He said he's good.
No, I'm saying
really
you would not believe the Dan we know, who's one of his greatest attributes is we're not sure what he cares about in life.
Right.
He is so into this, and it's insane. Like,
I made a deal with God. You know, God and I talk, and God, right. She listens
after
to me.
After the lightning strike?
Well, yeah. That's when we got to know each other. And I gave up the Cavs winning the championship for our softball team winning a tournament 2 weeks ago.
Like, you could have given me like
the Keller tournament we had
like
to win.
10 years ago, come to me and say, Bob, put 100 things on a piece of paper.
That what Dan will become
one
passion?
Of them that will become Dan's obsession in life. And I would write them down and say, okay, that covers everything. Never would I have written down 12-year-old girls softball. It's really, really tough to explain. Yeah.
And it would be really bad if I didn't have a 12-year-old girl. But I do, so that helps explain it, right?
Yeah, kids change everything.
That's the question, though.
But I heard from my friend who, by the way, is a coach. He is a coach and has been coaching for a long time, and he said, Dan does a great job. He said, I never thought he would do a great job, but he has done a great job. He's really good with the girls.
So what's your philosophy? What makes you so good?
Are you fiery? Do they know that you'll fight for them?
I think the key is you're just nice to the girls, right?
Are
that's
you
the big key with
pretty much.
Girls.
We don't yell. We don't yell at the umps. Not once. You know what I mean? It's like bad umps are part of the game kind of thing.
Are you considered a player's coach?
yes, I think so.
You mean to tell me that
I
after
take their feelings
a
into
terrible call by the umpire, you don't go, so you don't think that was a strength? Not even
we'll go out and
passive,
ask for an explanation. But
not even passive
no, because
aggressive.
No, because it's embarrassing for adulthood when I see other adults getting literally thrown out of games.
Yeah, I know. I've
we
seen
all
it
our girls sat there watching this last week. We're watching another team. And their coach and one of their fans screaming at the ump, getting thrown out of the game.
This
and
is
I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to be an adult. You know how you're embarrassed for whatever, your race or whatever it is that you see somebody doing and you wish they wouldn't? For all of us adults, we don't all act like that.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, I'd like to remind you, you're under oath here.
Go ahead.
In the last 3 months, would you say it's more prevalent for you to conduct show business during softball or softball business during the show?
There's no doubt. Softball business during the show.
Is he making out lineups and
dude,
stuff?
He'll leave to take a call, and we're like, what is he doing? Oh, we got to make sure so-and-so isn't sick for tonight's big game or something, or that the practice fields
are still open. Has Natalie thrown this morning? Okay. I just want to make sure she's loose. Up.
So are y'all good?
Our team was pretty good. Yeah, we were okay.
Yeah. Are you going to be manager of the year?
You know, that's so political, Craig. I'm not willing to play that game.
Is the season over?
The season is over.
Or it never
we're
ends.
In all-star tournament season.
But if you're good, you're Southlake good, which means you're probably area great.
We're in all-star tournament. We get to play three or four tournaments, and we play like it feels like you're part of a select team.
Wait a minute. Are you the all-star manager?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
It feels like you're
there.
Like, are the other managers on your staff?
Yeah. We have a large staff.
Man. But the others are subservient to you, though, in this alpha male world of...
We all work together, Bob.
I know, but then you make the decision.
I mean, I get to make out the lineup. You know, all my crazy theories that for years were laughed at are now being put into play.
And now it's like the McDowell rule.
But... I've heard people talk about select baseball, softball, whatever. I wouldn't want to do it 12 months a year. I think it's a lot of fun.
You're
going to
have that
month.
Choice here.
I'm
in
sorry.
A couple of,
how many months do you think you do it per year? Because it feels like about 11 and a half.
But we don't do it in the select, like two practices a week, then batting practice Friday, then a tournament all weekend. That's this 1 month.
Okay, but you're going to have to make a decision here in a couple of years because as your girls get older, that they're going to have to. That fork in the road, do they go select or not select?
Right. And if
Which
it's
way
up
do
to
you
me,
think you'll go?
It's if it's up to me, I say not.
Can I
because I don't feel like she's got softball in her future professionally.
Okay, but you individually.
Now managing,
yeah, do you
that's
see
a different deal. I could
you see this
see
as
myself sliding into the women's professional fast pitch softball.
What if the Rangers came to you and they wanted you to manage a rookie league team? Would you
take
that?
I don't feel that's out of the question.
As long as they changed over their roster to 12-year-old girls, he could do it.
Are you tempted to go back down to like 7-year-olds and get a group of girls that you can go year by year with all the way through?
You know what? I'm really upset my younger doesn't want
to
play.
Force
She's
her
more
to.
Into art and
force
music.
Her to. Reading.
Reading, yeah.
Tell her this is more about you than her. And
which is
her
why
to.
I have thrown out on air before. We're looking for the mid-30s, early 30s to mid-30s lady who has got that. The clock is ticking. She's never settled down with man yet. She's looking to hook up with somebody who's financially secure enough to take her in under his wing. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the second wife that'll, you know, get younger. And now I'll do this again. I loved having kids. Kids, the first 10 years of kids was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And next time around, I made the mistake of letting my girl pick her sport.
Right.
She didn't want to play softball till she was 11.
Yeah.
You'll
so
get
we've only
early.
Done we've only done this for 2 years.
You'll
yeah, I'd like to start her at the age of 6. We're going to make a pitcher out of her. Maybe 5. Everyone else starts at 6.
Like
we
Belcher's
should start earlier.
Kids, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm all for that. Maybe because we'll probably need in vitro, so we'll probably have twins. You know, I can get a nice powerhouse going.
Here come the McDowell twins. All right, well, good luck with that, Dan.
Matt
that sounds
Hicks.
Great.
Yeah, congratulations on all your success.
Yeah. When's the next All-Star Tournament?
Next weekend we'll see you in Hearst.
Junior, probably, you want to go?
Yeah.
We'll probably be up bright and early. We'll be out there at 8 a.m. next Saturday.
Do we
great fields over there.
Tickets at Ticketmaster?
Yeah, how do we get tickets?
Call 214-GO-STARS. And promo code DRAGON7.
All right, well, that was awesome. Talk of Dan and his softball teams. Up next, we have the great Gordo, Donovan, Jr., and Norm.
Rectum.
From Summer Bash. Lady.
Rectum.
6:56 here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. We are at the Village Country Club for The Ticket's big summer bash. This is huge for us.
Yeah.
We love this event. And we're in a new location this year for summer bash. And what a fine location it is. We always love coming out here to the Village Country Club when we do fight night, Ticket's fight night. And now we have summer bash out here. And we got a pretty good view from where we're sitting. We're right in front of the large pool, and I thought we would quickly touch on pool talk, because I think pools, I've always thought historically that pools were overrated, and they seem like a beating to maintain.
I've always thought the same thing, Gordon.
See, there you go, Donovan. You're a smart man. But I'm slowly coming around on the pool. You know, the apartment complex I'm in now has a pool.
This is lies.
And I kind of help out around there.
Oh, you do?
Maintenance and everything. So I'm in charge of taking care of the pool.
To cut down on your rent.
So you're known as the pool boy at the apartment complex?
Yes, okay. That is correct.
All right.
And it seems like there's an awful lot of maintenance to having a pool, and seems to be an awful lot of expense.
Especially a big one like this.
Is huge. One of mine is... It's about this size, slightly bigger.
The running joke is, hey, just take a 20 and throw it in there every day, because that's what you're spending.
Wait a minute.
Which is stupid.
It's slightly larger than this?
I've been doing that. Were they joking when they said that?
No, I mean, with children, man, I can't imagine during the summer, they spend so much time in there and invite so many friends over there that it's just I don't know what we do without it. I really don't.
Well, when I was a child, we never had a pool. And this probably factors into my thinking of it.
Yeah, like, we didn't either, Gordon.
Pools were for rich people, weren't they, Donovan?
Yeah, exactly right. Even the blow-up inflatable pool was for rich people.
Right.
No, I didn't even have one of those.
My parents
those
were $8. Never had a pool.
Hey,
never had a pool.
$8 came easy for you, Corby.
I didn't have a pool either.
And we would actually go to some of the wealthier people in our church. They would allow the preacher's kids to come over and swim in their pool. So when we went to a pool, we went to the wealthy people's house because they could afford a pool.
We took swimming lessons in the fourth grade at Lisbon Elementary School.
Didn't take, did it?
No, the guy, the teacher, like, it was me and this other guy who couldn't swim.
It was a guy teacher at a lesbian pool?
Lisbon. That's the name of the school, Lisbon. And he just laughed at us. He didn't teach us how to swim. He just laughed at us. And, like, if he split us up in relay races, he made sure we were on opposite teams that we could walk the length of the pool and walk back. And he was just giggling about it. He never even attempted to teach us how.
Yeah, we only had one family in my grade school that had a pool, and they were the richest family.
Right.
And the only pool we ever
had. Corby's not identifying with any of this.
I didn't have a pool growing up.
The only pool we had was the little plastic mini pool.
Right.
That you would fill up with the hose in about 3 minutes, and I knew that was spare.
Very spare.
See, where I grew up.
And that's the kind of pool that I'm talking about I have now,
yeah.
Oddly enough.
Where I grew up, nobody had a pool because it was Western New York, and it was cold.
It was 1890
for several months.
You had one month if it was functional.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I always said summer where I grew up was the 4th, 5th, and 6th of July. But you couldn't have a pool.
You're funny, Norm.
Thank you.
You don't get credit for being funny.
I give him credit. I support Norm's humor.
All the time. Junior's so supportive.
Did anybody have a pool?
No, nobody. Growing up, I knew not a single human being that had a pool.
Were you aware of the concept of the pool?
Yes, because down by the lake at a park down there, they had like a community pool. And that thing was closed so often because it had broken, the water pipes had broken during the winter, that I left home to go to college at 17. I don't believe I was in a pool twice in my life.
Did you? Do you have a pool now?
No, uh-uh. The hot tub.
You're all about the hot tub.
Far preferable.
I would rather have a hot tub.
Yeah, I would too.
A pool.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A big hot tub that seats about 6 or so.
We never use.
Do some swapping.
Really? Never.
God, I would. I love hot tubs.
So hot.
Yeah. Well, that's
yeah, but it's
why
good
it's called a hot tub, Corby. Jeez.
But you know, someone like Norm would benefit from a pool because it's low impact. It's good exercise for you. And that
average
that is,
sex.
What?
What'd you say?
What?
Huh. Anyway, and you know, I tell you what kind of pools I'm kind of getting obsessed with, because I don't know pool technology very well, but like lagoon-style pools where they make it look like almost a natural body of water
there. Like it's the Playboy grotto.
Yes, man. Yeah, like, I think that's badass looking. And there's some grottos you can swim up under the waterfall, and it's lit with LEDs. And
I imagine those are really, really expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, LED.
Forming those things. But, yeah, we didn't have – I didn't – there weren't a lot of my friends growing up that had pools.
But we, I knew zero
and now,
people.
And now Texas, North Texas, seems like the land of 10,000 pools.
Well, yeah, you have probably more than that. 4 months of a we have 4 months of 150 degree weather.
If you land at the airport and look down, everybody's
got a pool. Oh my God, that is
pool.
Amazing! Everybody.
It really is. That's a really cool scene to see that.
And I've always been amazed how people like they'll buy a, I don't know, a house that's in a subdivision where every house is cookie cutter and all packed in there, and so their backyard will be, you know, 10 by 15, and they put a pool in still. It's like they take up the entire backyard with the pool. That's how big of a pool culture that we have here.
You know what is really funny about the pool culture is that you cannot, as big of a, as a diving board used to be, like growing up and how much fun diving boards were, you really can't get them anymore.
Yeah, people don't
put them
in.
They're insurance liabilities, and you get screwed by them. And, yeah, you just can't find them anymore.
Yeah, my mom basically taught us if you dived off a diving board,
yeah,
it was about 50-50 life or death.
Death, yeah.
50-50.
Yeah, you have a great chance of dying.
Well, just think that
one time.
My mom would say if you step one toe in the pool, there's a 50-50 chance of dying. They didn't swim at all, so they didn't take us anywhere to swim, and we did not, and that's why I never learned.
Did you ever vacation at lakes or oceans?
No.
You weren't a water person?
No. Did not. Never did.
Once a year.
Isn't it weird that you can throw a dog in water and they naturally have the instinct to swim, but we don't? We're not born with that?
They say babies.
Yeah,
can
there's
do
that.
It.
If you can do
it
early baby enough, in there.
Oh, before you can think about it.
And right. They know how to, right, they know okay, how to say
but
it.
But now you, like get you get afraid now. Infants. And you get nervous and you do all the waiting and screaming. And
it's, I'll give you. It's like the Nirvana baby.
Yeah, the Nirvana baby.
I'll give you a weird note. Our dog Vanilla.
My left nut's bigger than my right.
Our dog Vanilla will not go in pools. She won't go in the
have
water.
Have you ever thrown her in?
I thought she was part lab or something.
She is.
Throw her in, Norm.
She's a Katrina dog.
Oh,
yeah. She was traumatized.
Indeed.
Oh. Water.
Way to go.
Yeah,
Norby.
Why are you stepping in
it's
that dog trap?
It's okay.
No,
she was a Katrina dog, and we just get the feeling that she's had enough water.
Right, right. Like,
yeah,
no,
Corby.
Thank you.
Golly.
Corby,
I can never look Vanilla in the eye again, Norm. She's right now by the radio going, that son of a bitch, Corby.
Did you do
isn't
the bear
ironic
trap?
That Vanilla was in the Chocolate City during Katrina? What, Norm?
You did the bear trap minute, right?
What was that? Oh, yeah. Bear trap.
There
of
you
the
go. Got Corby.
I know.
Yeah. Not the bear trap.
It's
why
okay.
Don't you just throw in, Norm?
Corby doesn't care.
She was in Katrina. Oh.
We do that with every dog we get, it seems like. You just chunk her in the pool and just see what happens. And
that, half of them don't make it?
Yeah. Then we shoot them.
Then you know they're a witch if they don't make it?
Yeah. Witch dog! Witch dog!
Or I guess they did.
Are
we done?
We're done.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to get Time Waster ready.
We do have to do that. And we have events coming up here at the Village Country Club for the Deep Eddy Vodka Summer Bash. It's brought to you by Macho Self Storage, PM Stanley Motor Cars. Our great beer sponsors, Corona. Look at all this Corona we have up on the table right now.
And
special thanks to the Village also for having us out here. Now, before the Time Wasters hit the stage, we're going to have a water balloon toss, a putting green that Bob's going to go out on, and Norm is going to play Twister with some of the ladies out here.
You
so
see
the fun continues. Get on out here.
Water
to the
balloon
Village
toss, right?
Country Club.
It's like 4:30.
Stay hard, everybody. Time Wasters coming up soon.